The Taliban is on Twitter, WhatsApp, and a host of other platforms, and its presence is putting these social media companies in a precarious situation, especially as we've watched them grapple with blocking other polarizing groups and people, including our own former President Donald Trump. But our next guest says it's important to take a look at how the Taliban is behaving online. They've become experts at using social media without violating the terms on these platforms. Craig Timberg wrote about this in his latest piece for The Washington Post. Craig, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tanya.
Facebook confirmed this week that it will continue to ban Taliban content from its platforms. It considers the group a terrorist organization. But your reporting shows that, by and large, the Taliban has actually been adhering to the rules of these social media companies. Tell us more.
There's sort of two ways that these companies can police stuff on their platform, right? They can say, oh, you're a problem, you can't be on the platform at all, or they can evaluate the individual content. In the case of the Taliban, Facebook has said it's such a problematic group, they can't be on the platform at all. Other companies, including Twitter, have said, well, wait, let's see what they actually say and do. And so they've allowed a lot of Taliban content to appear on Twitter, and other platforms have done the same.
At the same time, though, analysts are saying we shouldn't be too quick to actually believe the Taliban is more evolved or tolerant, that maybe taking this step like Facebook is taking is the right way to go before it gets out of control.
The thing that got us rolling on that story was an editor had heard this debate about should they be allowed and asked me, well, tell me about what they're doing on social media. And so I started looking and I started calling around. And what I saw was, A, the Taliban were really sophisticated in the way they were using it, in a way that, you know, reminded me of like a modern political campaign that could have been run in the United States or anywhere else. And B, that they also were basically playing by the rules. They weren't inciting violence. So whatever you think about the Taliban, and I think we all have a lot of reason to be skeptical of their motives and actions, they actually are basically following the rules as the platforms have laid them out.
Well, let's talk about what they're posting. In your reporting, you illustrate some of their messaging. For instance, a video that circulated in Afghanistan that shows Taliban fighters dressed in camouflage and holding machine guns with this tagline that says, in an atmosphere of freedom. Most of what they post, however, you say, is for an international audience. What are some of the themes and messages? Who are they talking to?
They're talking to different people at different times and in different ways. That video image you mentioned, you know, that's a political message, and it was in English and, you know, which we can read, but also in Pashto, which is a language that many Afghans speak. At the same time, there's also stuff that is clearly aimed at an international audience, explicitly, maybe exclusively, where they're talking about, oh, we believe in freedom of the press, for example. They're playing up to people in the United States and European powers who are watching this government take shape. And then there's really a third bucket where they're kind of talking to each other, in some cases about deeply logistical things. Like there is this WhatsApp, you know, helpline that Facebook actually shut down that was really about governance. It was about reporting crimes. It was about reporting atrocities against civilians. And so by closing that down, the Taliban and the people of Afghanistan sort of lost a way to talk to each other.
Well, you know, a big point that people want to make about all of this is, well, Twitter banned former President Trump. How can they then justify not banning the Taliban?
The difference, though, is if you think about the two different ways you can deal with problematic behavior, one is to look at the entirety of what a person or entity does. Taliban clearly have done a lot of terrible things, so you can ban them, and that's what Facebook has done. But for everybody else, and that includes even the President of the United States, there have to be rules of behavior.
Can I ask you maybe a really simple question, but would a ban have much of an effect on the Taliban's presence on social media if it's made up of individuals? It seems like a huge proposition for a social media company to take on.
You could absolutely identify and close down various spokesmen for the Taliban, but you can't push them off the internet entirely. And there's some platforms that are probably unlikely to ban them. You know, we see Twitter has drawn a different line here, but Telegram is not acting against the Taliban. So it becomes a really difficult practical problem, even if you decide you want to shut down a movement. Well, what about the spokesman's brother or the spokesman's, you know, guy down the street who may just be parodying the same lines? It's very, very hard in 2021 to shut off the voices of people who want to speak, you know, online if people want to hear it. There's just too many ways to communicate. You can just create an infinite number of accounts, and then you just get in this crazy cat and mouse game forever.
And thinking about the challenges of policing, you also say, I mean, the way these companies are operating and creating rules, they're basically building the plane as they're flying it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've watched these companies now for the Post for nearly a decade. And, you know, they're very sensitive to public relations. They're very sensitive to not alienating people politically. And so they're constantly casting and recasting and re-recasting all of these rules. Now, they present them in their press releases as immutable laws handed down by Moses. But the reality is they're constantly changing these things and tweaking them. And the Afghanistan situation is a good example of that. Like, you know, you had one set of rules when this was an insurgent group, but maybe you need a different set of rules now that they're a governing group. Every few months, there's just a new moment where the companies have to wrestle with these things and adjust on the fly, you know, to sort of keep current with the way the world actually is.
Craig Timberg is a national reporter covering technology for The Washington Post. Craig, as always, thank you for your reporting.
It was my pleasure, Tanya.